Florida might be the first state to punish social media platforms. Mixed feelings about people returning to in-office work. Tech anniversaries, including Star Wars Day this week, and the demand for $15 a month broadband internet. Cuomo says, bring it on. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson and the podcast world. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 42. That's episode 42. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday, 2 p.m., right here on KVY, 1030 The Voice. We post all of our shows and bonus content on computerdoctorshow.com. Again, computerdoctorshow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions. We have no co-host today, flying solo, but that's okay because we used to do this a long time ago. But hey, we're still going live and nice and strong. Our tech quote of the week was given to what was actually from Barbara Corcoran from the Shark Tank. Here is her quote. I've never had a good idea at blank. I've never had a good idea at blank. It's a location. So stay tuned for the answer of that blank at the end of the show. But here are some top tech news stories this week. NBC News reported yesterday Florida governor might be the first state to punish social media. So this is a situation where the governor wants to stop the deplatforming of politicians and candidates during these elections. This was happening during the presidential election, and obviously future elections of even governors and mayors and other people in office would have an effect on this subject. So a lot of government officials don't like this idea of this deplatforming because it makes the elections hard to deal with. So in order to stop them, what they're doing is they are infringing fines of $25,000 all the way up to $250,000, depending on the candidate that is deplatformed. So this is more or less an issue with the First Amendment versus company policy. So the First Amendment guarantees free speech, but there are all kinds of things that come into play when you're dealing with a private company that has their own policies on privacy and what is allowed and not allowed. So when you have a large platform that a lot of people use, when you make these different changes in your company policy, obviously they start to affect the public. So the solution that was proposed by that's being proposed by the state is to have a government regulated social media, a government regulated social media. Now this kind of goes back in time where there were some government officials that wanted, for example, wiretapping to be okay. And then there was other issues where wiretapping was not okay. So in the government, you know, obviously they want to make sure that the public is safe, but they want to do this by some sort of regulation. And it's very, very difficult for them to do this because it's you know, they do it in China, you know. But here's the thing. We have to – this is why monopolies are so dangerous, because if you have a very, very high influence, which is – people are able to obtain that through social media, because, you know, there are influencers and on various platforms out there that have more influence than, say, a state official. So there are some people out there that are shooting bird videos and cat videos and makeup videos. They actually have more following than governors and, you know, sometimes presidents, you know, or even heads of state, people like that. So when someone has that much of an influence, they kind of are pressured into having this kind of regulated kind of control on that. So so there are times that happens, and also they're also saying, you know, sometimes this influence can also be misused, which is a very good point. There are experts that are saying that the attack on the Capitol back on January 6th was a result of a lack of regulation on social media, because a lot of those efforts may have been coordinated on social media. That's what experts are saying. So they're trying to prevent attacks like this from being prevented. So there's a lot of back and forth about that. But an interesting response that the social media company said. They said, all you have to do is stop lying in your campaigns and no one's going to be blacklisted. You know, so as long as you tell the truth, we're not going to blacklist you. As long as you're saying something that's not hateful and not dangerous and not truthful, you know, as long as it's true and it meets all of our criteria, we won't blacklist you. So apparently maybe they think that the politicians are lying, possibly. Is that possible? Of course. Well, you be the judge. I try my best not to judge. Also, as COVID restrictions start to ease up, people are going back to office work and how the office has changed in the last year and 2 months. So a lot of people have been working from home, doing homeschooling, not using their cars, but now there's this pressure to now move back into the in-office work environment, going back to commuting. Is there better productivity? Do people get more done in a physical office or working from home? There are some businesses that may have decided that working from home is better, and they're going to continue to do that. In sales, I forget what the exact term is, but if you are no longer being the supplier of a particular service or demand, and the public is without your service for a period of time, then there's always the chance that they've learned to live without you. They've learned to live without your product or service. So now you have to go back and you have to resell them. You have to remind them why they had your service from before and see if they're still interested. People change over a year and 2 months, okay, without seeing. So some things have been changed forever. But I was also thinking about this, that the price of skirt and pants and shoes may start to go up. Okay. Well, we haven't worn shoes, pants, and skirts or dressed from the waist down in a while, or at least nice-looking clothes from the waist down. So who knows? Some of these shoe stores may have to go up in some of their sales. Many businesses may need to fire up their servers for the first time that they have in a year. Maybe their offices have been vacant, or maybe they have to put together a new office because they had to move out of their old office. If you ever need any type of computer assistance, you could always call on the Computer Doctor of Tucson, the phone number 520-261-5508. Also, the New York Governor Cuomo says bring it on. This is when he was talking about fighting the ISPs over a $15 a month internet at 25 megabit download speed. So a little bit of background. 2 weeks ago, New York State enacted its cheap broadband law that was called the first in the nation requirement for affordable internet for qualifying low-income families. And what this is it's a provision that the state of New York is trying to make towards people, and basically it's putting pressure on the ISPs, the ISPs being Verizon, AT&T, all of your internet service providers that provide internet services in the New York area. They are being forced or asked by the state to provide a plan of 25 megabit speed at a cost of $15 per month for the end user. What that basically means is $15 flat, and that $15 is supposed to include all taxes, all fees, rental equipment, all those little fees that the internet service companies like to add on, you know, that they tell you is not part of the original price, but some way, somehow just gets added to your bill every month. You see, all those prices are now supposed to be included into this $15 per month. Now, here's where it gets a little bit funny, because now if the state is enforcing this, now you have all of these IT internet service providers that have to provide this service at this price. So it kind of evens the playing field, because now you have the exact same product being sold at the exact same price by several different companies. So what does that create? Now they have, so all of these companies, they now have to figure out a way to gain customers, okay, through this program. But how do they do that and still remain competitive in the marketplace? If their prices are all the same and the service is all the same, what is the deciding factor? Well, it's going to be customer service, right? And it's going to be really, really hard to get better customer service, because that's what they're going to have to be eventually. That's what they're going to have to promote, okay? If enough people knows about it, if enough people ask about it, eventually they're going to get to a point where they just have to advertise how much better customer service-wise that their company is over their competitors. And that's something royally that usually these companies usually don't do too well with. So it's a little bit funny. Now, all that to say that internet service is here to stay, and it is an essential service, and that's and soon it's going to likely be required, just like a utility, like a heat or hot water in an apartment. I wouldn't be surprised that in the next I would say within the next year or two before we start seeing laws here in Arizona about internet service being a requirement in order to even be a landlord. We do have a real estate show on this station as well. There might be it's worth talking about it, because a lot of we have a lot of landowners here in Tucson, and if this is going to be a necessary utility, you can't make it a responsibility of the tenant, but it now has to be the responsibility of the landlord to have some sort of provision for internet service already built into the residence. That can affect a whole heap of things. So if you're in that market, be prepared to provide that service. We do have a quick phone call. We're going to get that cold phone call in a second. But, you know, these things are affected, and the things that happen in New York will eventually come in through Arizona sometime. We do have a caller. Gary is on the phone. Hi, Gary. What's your question or comment?
Thank you for taking my call. This particular issue has been one of interest to me on the supplying of internet service to low-income families. I started following this back in 2016 when I started researching the national budget every year. I would go through all 12 departments that the nation's budget was based on. Mm-hmm. And throughout those 12, there was a recurring theme of providing internet service to low-income families. That's way back in 2016. I live in Cochise County, and I know of no one that has received any funding for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was under the first flag of Race to the Top education policy by Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just, for these since 2016, have always watched this to see if anything of accountability would be brought out for all the money that they put into that budget. And it was quite hefty. Every year, every year that budget came out for 8 years. And I think it was just a slush fund, but
One of the things that I noticed that was missing in this white paper, this is some of these articles from in the New York State. Just all you have to do is just Google New York State affordable internet, $15 per month for ISPs. One thing that was missing from there is the reliability of signal. So there's a loophole there, you know, so they can say that, you know, hey, yeah, we're providing 25 megabits. Yep. All our systems are set at 25 megabits for this end user. But by the time it gets to the end user, it may amount to nothing. And, I've seen similar kind of cases, unfortunately, right here in Tucson as well. I had a customer that called in for the free Tucson internet initiative that was started, and I actually ran across one of these devices, and this device was not connecting at all, even though that they were in the boundaries. So I totally get it. You know, there's all kinds of loopholes and all kinds of things that have to happen. I hope it happens because people need this service. Don't you agree?
Well, New York is doing a fine job of doing that, and you said customer service. I would beg to differ and say coverage maps.
Yes, it starts with the coverage maps, but we all know that those coverage maps are exaggerated, to say the least. You know, but I appreciate your call, Gary. We have to.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you for your call. We're going to take a quick commercial break up next. Some tech anniversaries as time allows. Online protection 101. Our open lines 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill. Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson, because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. In this next segment, it's just our tech anniversaries for this week. Today is May 1st, 2021. So April 30th, that was yesterday. April 30th was yesterday. But 124 years ago in 1897, the discovery of the electron was made by Joseph John Thomson and he was at the time the first subatomic particle to be discovered. That was 124 years ago. So there was the part of the atom, which is the electron that was discovered at that time. And he actually won a Nobel Prize. He was a Nobel Prize winner in the category of physics, obviously. And he did a lot of experiments with cathode ray tubes. So do you know what we would not have had Joseph John Thomson not made that discovery of the electrons? We wouldn't have that square box, right? The TV. So those TV with the cathode ray tubes. So he was kind of like one of the early discoverers that got involved with the technology that would later become the television sets. So I am very thankful for this gentleman with this discovery. So it's amazing that it happened 124 years ago on this day, actually yesterday. Also yesterday, April 30th, 1993, the World Wide Web was launched in the public domain. Okay, I'll say that again. The World Wide Web was launched in the public domain. That was April 30th, 1993, which means that 28 years ago, we were able to access web pages using URL and web addresses. Now, although the World Wide Web was actually invented much earlier, about 4 years earlier in 1989, it didn't become public until April 30th, 1993. So this begs the question, what is the difference between the World Wide Web and the Internet? So the idea behind that is the World Wide Web and the Internet are actually very, very different. First of all, the Internet came way, way before the World Wide Web. Okay? That may seem hard to, a little bit backwards to understand, but, and thank you, Tom. He's asking about Netscape and WebCrawler and things like that. Those are other services that came back earlier, but that came earlier. But basically, the Internet is basically the hardwire and routers that are around the world. So when we see these communication lines and these routers that are all over, those are parts of the Internet, not the web. The web is the actual servers of where information lives. So basically we can think of the web as hard drive and storage space that is accessible, through the tracing lines of the Internet. So the Internet itself is nothing but routes like streets and avenues and highways. And the World Wide Web is like the stores and businesses and residents and things of that sort. So when it became into the public domain, that means that people could essentially pay for a connection to these tracing lines and then have access to all of these locations that were on the web. AOL would soon follow, and many other Internet service companies, of course. The only method of connection at the time was dial-up and some other some primal types of connections. And if you're wondering how some of these primal types of connections, if you ever travel to a third world country, some of those places still use dial-up, but broadband is becoming the new minimum or the new the new basic Internet. So it's getting to the point where if you don't even have broadband, you're almost probably don't even have Internet, or you're not even considered to even have Internet if you don't have at least broadband. Also, we wouldn't be a technology show without acknowledging May 4th, Star Wars Day. So this is an observance for all of my nerds and geeks out there. I hope you enjoy your Star Wars Day, and it's May the 4th, and the reason why, May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you. And this would also beg the question as to what would the star date be for Star Trek? Is there a Star Trek equivalent? And if so, what would it be? If you have an answer for that, send me a message at info@computerdoctorshow.com. I'd love to see. Tom is giving me the wave, the three finger wave from Star Trek. So I guess it's a signal. I guess it's a signal, not really a date.
Live long and prosper.
The live long and prosper. Excellent, Tom. Thank you. This next segment is, we're going to have to cut it short, but it's Online Protection 101. Last time we talked about using the Onion browser for privacy. But this next tip is, under privacy, don't click ads in websites. Now, this only is referenced on ads within websites that have free content. Usually those ads go someplace else different than what you're thinking. So be careful of that. Before we wrap up, the answer to the tech quote of the week, I've never had a good idea. The answer, I've never had a good idea at my desk. And that was said by Barbara Corcoran. That's a great idea if you're trying to find a solution to something. So just be out in the world, go out and do something, and make sure that you have something to write with when the solution comes to you. Tune in next week as a special guest talks about legal issues around having your own website. My name is Aaron Moss, your host and technology expert. Today, Tom Fairbanks is at the board, is the board operator and producer. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY. 10:30 The Voice. Stay safe, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.